In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
One, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today. And today is the feast day of St. Peter Claver, one of the great saints that helped in the battle against racism, racial injustice during the time of the slave trade in the United States. A wonderful saint that helps us to see Christ in the person standing in front of us. Not look at race or color or class or anything, but when we look at someone and we have the person in front of us, we see Christ first. And that's the way that we end racism and racial division. And that's what we're talking about today, seeing Christ in the person in front of us. Would love to hear your thoughts today on this feast day of St. Peter Claver. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we'll be traveling this weekend to do a couple of radio events for Divine Mercy Radio, a great EWTN partner. I will be in Hayes, Kansas on Saturday for their listener appreciation dinner, giving the keynote. And then the next day in Salina, Kansas, doing the same thing, giving an appreciation dinner for that market, listeners in that market there. So I'll be in two different places in Kansas this weekend. Again, looking forward to meeting members of our EWTN radio family in support of Divine Mercy Radio. So, and if you want to see where I'll be in your area, because I got a lot of travel this next few months here leading up to Thanksgiving and Christmas, just go to my website, deaconharold.com, and click on schedule to see where I'll be in your area. And please make sure you come up and say hi. A little bit embarrassing today. I took my son. Oregon has a new licensed driver. My son Benjamin finally got his driver's license. He's at 22, which seems to not be so unusual. A lot of kids, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, aren't really jonesing to get their driver's license. You know, they're just like, oh yeah, whenever. You know, I remember for me, it was a rite of passage. You know, back at when I got my license in Jersey, New Jersey at the time, it was 16 and a half to get your permit and 17 to get your license. And now I know it's younger here in Oregon. I think it's 15 to get your permit and 16 to get your license. But then now it's a provisional license. You can only drive during certain times and have certain people in the car, that kind of thing, until you reach, I think it's 17, and then you are just able to drive by yourself without any provisions. I think a lot of kids just like, I'm not going to go through. I'm just going to wait till I get old enough to just be able to drive on my own. And so only one of our children got their driver's license at 16. But everybody else was like, no big deal. I don't care. I'll take public transportation. I'll get a ride or whatever. And so Benjamin is actually the last one to get his driver's license. I took him down there and he went today. Here's the embarrassing thing. The person that was administering the test knew who I was. When the test was over, we get out and we're going through his score. And he said, "You're Deacon Harold?" I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." Never been to this DMV before in my life, because they've been consolidating the DMVs in Oregon. Never been to this place before. No, I mean, you know, and I don't, I, you know, I'm not traveling around Oregon very much because I'm traveling all the time outside of Oregon. Person knew who I was. "Oh yeah, I used to go to Immaculate Heart. That's my parish where I served as deacon for the past 23 years. Yeah, I used to be a parishioner there, and now I go to the Vietnamese Vicariate Church, you know, Our Lady Lavang, which is a beautiful church, huge now. They built a church down in Happy Valley, just south of Portland." And so that was a little embarrassing. So we're driving back. My son says, "Anybody that doesn't know who you are?" I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of people, actually. And actually, I like it that way. When people don't know who I am, I like it that way. I like being incognito, you know, and just getting under the wire here. So that was kind of my day today. And I hope you're having a great one, too. Again, we're celebrating the feast day of St. Peter Claver today, one of the great Jesuit Saints and fighter against racial injustice. Again, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Some of the people I know that see that strive every day to see people, to see God in the people standing in front of them, are the people who help bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Michael McCall and also Pedro Quiles, who helps out on social media, Matt Gabinski, who screens your calls, and the one and only, no one else like him in the whole world, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I you can't be out in public and on the radio every day and someone at some point not know who you are.
You know, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, I just think of me as me. I don't think of me as anything else, just plain old me.
Sure.
You know, so it's still weird to me that people come up to me and know who I mean. That's just like, dang, you know, which is why I'm glad I am where I am. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not at like the Scott Hahn or Father Mike Schmitz level where they can't go anywhere, you know, where people don't recognize them. I'm still,
right,
you know, kind of incognito, which is good. I fly under the radar.
Right.
That's the way I like it, man. Because, you know, for me, ultimately, it's about bringing – I'm just, again, the instrument that's bringing the music, the message of Jesus and the Catholic Church. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but as we talk about being the instrument, think of it like when someone walks into a music store and goes, oh, man, you got the new Gibson. Like they yeah. identify, they know. So you're like a vintage guitar. People just want to be able to.
You know, one of the biggest compliments I've ever received was when someone called me like the Eddie Van Halen of Speak Catholic Speak. I'm like, ooh, I got a little nervous. I'm like, Eddie Van Halen's like a hero, like one of the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just have posters of him on my wall in college, you know, and my style kind of emulates his playing. And so just, I mean, even to be mentioned in the same breath as someone like that,
yep.
you know, comparatively to what I do here. I mean, again, I don't think of myself like that. I mean, it's a wonderful compliment, but ultimately I'm just trying to be faithful to the gospel. That's really it.
Sure.
All of us in our own way, you know, you with your incredible songwriting and worship leading and producing and all the things that you do. You know, and your kids with the acting and I mean, everything, everything that we're all doing, people at EW10, all of us are just trying ultimately be faithful to the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, be finally two instruments in God's hands.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, and it's interesting, too, that you brought that up with my kiddos, because as we start a new season of theater, like I love the fact that they, without my wife and I saying anything, like their humility when people have seen them in shows, because like now they've been in it long enough that people are coming into the theater ensemble that have seen them perform, and so they know them from stage, and then they're getting to know them backstage as they're working on the next season of shows. And just, I mean, Ryan and Mia's love to not only do it but then see other people's passion also ignite. And to me, the same thing with our faith, right? When people get excited about what God is doing in their lives or what they hope that he's going to do, like just that contagiousness, but also with such humility of that. Yeah. You know, thank you for that. But, you know, tell me about you. You know, it's that back and forth that I believe is such a ministry opportunity for them. But then just seeing how God has just kept them rooted in who they are, and you know, they're not letting them say, oh yeah, thanks. That was my third show. And you know, it's none of that. And I'm thankful, because, you know, trying to smolder out pride and ego out of a teenager can sometimes be the hardest thing, you know. It's really cool to see how that kind of plays itself out as we get comfortable in our skin based on who God's called us to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing wrong with acknowledging the fact that, you know, people are saying nice things about or appreciate what you do or are moved by what you do. That's wonderful. That means that God is using you and using the gifts that he has given you for his glory. And that's great. But the problem is when it gets to your head, you know, when you start, then the shift happens from, I recognize this gift from God, like, ooh, it's all about me.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Oh, never, never, never want to be there. Never want to make that mistake.
Yeah. Well, and I also, too, like it from the standpoint of that no matter how big they get, hopefully they'll remain in that same humble place as we all have, because anytime pride and ego take over, we trip over that every time. I think you talked about that yesterday, about how pride is just that big one that takes us away from God quicker than anything, and it's the thickest one to break through.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been planning upcoming shows. We got a whole show we're going to talk about pride. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I call it the queen of the vices.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to talk about that because that is a big issue for a lot of us, mm-hmm. you know, struggling with, again, trying to balance doing God's will and doing it in a way that honors God by being the best that we can possibly be in what we do,
yeah.
and letting that get to our head. We start thinking the shift where we start thinking it's about us.
Amen.
But today it's not about us. It's about St. Peter Claver, one of the greatest saints and advocates against racial injustice. And what he did so well, he saw God standing in the person in front of him. That's what we're talking about today. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
You're asking for more classical.
That's it.
That's cue the ballet awesome. Dancers.
So, that's beautiful.
That French horn, that. Man. So
French
good.
Horn. Oh, yes. Love the French horn, man. Very interesting instrument, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those double-reeded ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting instrument.
Well, actually, I say that like I know a reed from a double reed. I don't.
Oh, but okay.
I know a French horn from other horns, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I
can imagine in the movies, though, they're doing that, the dance they used to do back then, where you hold it and you just kind of just bounce to the beat and twirl around and stuff like that.
Nice little waltzy
very
kind
formal.
Of... Yeah, yeah. So great.
Oh, very nice. So the counterpoint there between the French horn and the...
Get you in the holiday spirit months in advance.
Yeah, see there, you prepare your hearts.
That's right.
You know, to receive everything God wants to give you. And classical music is the way in.
Amen.
I love that. I'm Deacon Harold Brick Series, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the feast day of St. Peter Claver, one of the great Jesuit saints, advocate against racial injustice. And today we're going to talk about seeing Christ in the person standing in front of us, just like St. Peter Claver did. You know, when he looked at someone, he saw Jesus first, not race, not color, not ideology, not in that he saw Christ in the person standing in front of him. And that's what we need to do if we are to defeat the evil against racism, racial injustice and bigotry and all those other things. And I wrote a whole book about this, actually. It's called Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism, available from the EW10 Religious Catalog. But it's not about my book. It's about St. Peter Claver. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we're celebrating as our friends at Ave Maria Radio with an incredible 29 years as a part of the EWTN Radio family. Of course, if you're in Detroit, Ann Arbor, Lansing, and so forth, anywhere, Mike Jones and his team have done an amazing job as they continue another 29, and our partnership goes deep. So congratulations to them, and thanks again for your support with EWTN Radio.
My friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, if we take one of the psalms that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, whether weekday Mass, Sunday Mass, in every Mass we hear the Psalms, the book of sung praises that we also pray in the Divine Office of the Liturgy of the Hours, and we take that psalm, we connect it to your everyday lived experience. And today we're continuing our walk through Psalm 31. So Psalm 31 is in Book 1 of the Psalms, Psalms 1 through 41. All the Psalms in Book 1 attributed to King David. And the prescript or superscript of this psalm, which is the first verse, says, Lemenzeach Mizmor HaDavid. Basically, it says, for the choir master, a psalm of David. So David wrote this psalm, then gave it to the choir master. Now, again, some of these psalms, David wrote the music to himself, but a lot of the times he gives the psalm that he wrote to the choir master. So remember, who are these guys? First Chronicles 15, 16 to 22, you can see a list of all the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. Again, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22, you'll see Sons of Korah, you'll see Asaph, you'll see Jeduthun, you'll see Etan, the Ezraites as well, and the others who are part of that musical guild who put music, either they wrote the Psalms or wrote the music themselves, or they were given the Psalm to put music to. So wonderful. And again, we don't know what those sounded like, although there are places on the internet where you can, where scholars have given their kind of best guess as to what those hymns, psalm tones may have sounded like. Very fascinating. But we're diving in today at verse 20. So Psalm 31, verse 20. I love David here. He goes, "How great is the goodness, Lord, that you keep for those who fear you." Now, again, the word here for fear is yareh. It means honor, reverence, and respect. So the word fear here, yareh, means a filial fear, right? The fear that you have for disappointing your parents, for example. That kind of fear. Not being afraid, but having honor, reverence, and respect for someone. So David is saying here, how great is the goodness, Lord, right? Another place, how can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? I think that's Psalm 116. The cup of salvation I will raise, I will call on the name of the Lord, right? So David here, how great is the goodness, Lord, that you keep for those who fear you. So for those who honor, reverence, and respect God. Now, how do we do that? Simply, first of all, by following his commandments, right? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Also by, as Ace and I talked about earlier, becoming the person who God created you to be, right? So by using your talents, your gifts, however God has manifested those in you, to use them to the best of your ability in order to honor and glorify God, right? So those are two ways that we can show honor and reverence and respect to the Lord. And keeping the commandments includes not using the Lord's name in vain, right? Like they do on television so often, always cursing the name of the Lord. It almost comes just ubiquitous now. Just like, you know, it doesn't even faze a lot of people because you're so used to hearing that kind of language. But I personally find it highly offensive, you know. And when someone says that to me in person, you know, or uses that kind of language, like in a conversation, I'll kindly and gently, but firmly, ask them to please refrain from using the Lord's name in that way. Because again, you've heard me say this before, they don't do it to Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad because they're not God. You know, why it's so offensive to me is because they're saying it against God. But yet they won't do it for these other religious leaders. And of course, Jesus Christ is far, 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 far more than a religious leader. He is God incarnate. You know, so when you use the Lord's name in vain or as a curse like that, you know, it's an offense against God. So therefore, it's offense against me as a child of God, right? As an adopted son of God. That's also offensive to me. So we are always and everywhere have to honor, reverence, and respect our Lord. So David is saying, how great is the goodness for those who fear the Lord, honor, reverence, and respect him, that you show to those who trust you. I love that. So not just those who honor and reverence and respect the Lord, but those who trust the Lord, and not just trust him like a one-on-one. David says here, those who trust you in the sight of the children of men. See, so we have to, you know, when we trust the Lord, yes, we trust him. We go to adoration. We go one-on-one. We surrender ourselves to him. We surrender our wills to him. We surrender our lives to him, yes. But also in the sight of the children of men. Because this culture needs a witness. They need people who are willing to stand up for the beauty and truth of the faith. Just like St. Peter Claver did. Right. In slavery, when so many Catholics turned their back against people coming over on the slave ships from the continent of Africa, or even indigenous people here in the United States. When they were being scorned and rejected, and other Catholics just turned their back and just ignored it, not my problem, you know, that kind of thing. There were people like St. Peter Claver who stood up and gave that witness to the gospel, not just paid lip service to it, but gave witness to the gospel. David is saying here that the goodness of God will be great upon those who are not afraid to trust him publicly. They are not afraid to witness to him publicly. Right? So I'm not saying that he's going on a street corner, start preaching and things. I'm not saying that. But when we're not afraid to stand up, like, again, when someone uses the Lord's name like that, me not being, usually just say, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Or if someone is talking about like a abortion or marriage or something like that, or transgender or something like that, a lot of Catholics, they want to back away. They don't want to say anything. And even though the church is being mocked in that conversation, we're scared. We're filled with fear. We're not filled with trust. We're not filled with confidence. You know, we're embarrassed to share our faith, you know, and guess what? St. Peter Claver was embarrassed too. You know, he associated himself with people who in the eyes of the culture seemed to be nothing, to have no worth at all. Even the Supreme Court decision, 1857 decision, Dred Scott said that black people were property and not human beings. And St. Peter Claver said, no, I'm identifying myself with the ones that God has called me to serve. The feast day of St. Teresa of Calcutta, who we just celebrated just last week, same thing. She identified with the people that she was called to serve. And that's how God's goodness shines forth in us. We're not afraid to witness to that publicly in the sight, David says, of children of men. He continues, you hide them in the shelter of your presence. Right? I love that. Secure from human scheming. So God will protect us. Yeah, people are going to scheme against us. People are going to plan to ruin us. And some people even do it by trying to ruin someone's reputation. Falsely saying things against the person. And I know that this has happened to certain clerics in the church where people have an axe to grind against the church. And so they want to do is destroy a person's reputation by making a false accusation or a false claim. Right. And in order to get back at the church, it says God will protect us, those who are righteous, those who fear the Lord, those who trust the Lord. God will protect us from human scheming. Right. So, God, because the truth will come out. The truth is not just, an ideology. Truth is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Says you, and then he has a synonymous parallelism here. He says you keep them. So he says you hide them in the shelter of your presence, so protection. He says, and then he says you keep them safe within your tent, right? So within your tent, your abode, your home, right? Within our hearts, right? That God will keep us safe within His own tent from disputing tongues, right? So the people who are speaking out against us, against our faith, for what we stand for, particularly in this culture today, which is so angry and so vitriolic and so self-centered and self-indulged. You know, we have to speak out against that. We have to witness against that. You know, and one of the ways that we can do that is by following the example of the great St. Peter Claver, who we're celebrating today. So the David is saying that we will receive the goodness of God when we fear him, honor, reverence, and respect him, when we trust him, and we do so in a very public way, that he will protect us and keep us safe within the shelter of his heart and give us an abundance of his divine mercy. We're talking about St. Peter Claver today on his feast day, the great advocate against racism and racial injustice. We'd love to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah.
We got all the horns are covered today.
Oh, definitely. Definitely bringing the horns today. You know, as soon as I heard this, I immediately thought Blues Brothers.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know,
that's the first thing that kind of came to my head.
It does have that Chicago style, too, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's a very definitive.
That's awesome. How, Yeah, how music, you hear different things, you know, when you listen.
Yeah.
Which is great, because everybody hears something different in a song.
Sure.
And when someone shares with you what they've heard, it makes you appreciate the song even more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, love that. And same thing with our faith. You know, when we share our faith, I think people will not only appreciate us better, but they appreciate the faith better, because now they're hearing this aspect of the faith from someone who's living it with passion and conviction, and so it sounds different.
Right.
You know, because there's all your churches full of just rules and commandments, and you know, sacraments are like elixirs or something like that. It's a kind of magic potion. No. When you hear your experience of sacraments in your life and how you live, how the sacraments give you the grace to live out your life every day, there's a whole different perspective, and music is like that as well.
Yeah.
Love that.
Amen.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Sibley's listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're celebrating the feast day of the great Jesuit saint, Saint Peter Claver, strong advocate against slavery and racial injustice. We'd love to hear your thoughts today about seeing Christ in the person standing in front of us, because that's how we end racism and racial injustice. And I believe with all my heart that the Catholic Church is in a prime position to take the lead on this issue. Would love to hear your thoughts. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, we've got great reading material for you. What Do You Seek? Encountering the Heart of the Gospel is a great available book now in the religious catalog. Easy to find at EWTNRC.com as we emphasize what it really is to be called the first proclamation, the core gospel of God's love and the person and mission of Jesus. Find out more again when you, of course, shop EWTN Religious Catalog. Free shipping standards for $75 or more when you use the code word FREE at checkout. Again, at EWTNRC.com.
All right, we're talking about Saint Peter Claver today on his feast day. And particularly, we're asking people to call and share their experience of seeing Christ in the person standing in front of them. You know, getting past our biases and our prejudices and things that we may have, that we see people according to a stereotype, and we don't see Christ in the person. So Saint Peter Claver, St. Teresa of Calcutta, so many other saints were able just to see the living presence of God in the person they were called to serve. And we are called to do the same thing. It's on page one of the Bible. It's all about St. Peter Claver and seeing God standing in the person in front of us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mike is calling from Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 130. Mike, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing well, doing well. Great to hear from you.
So I called because of what you guys were talking about at the beginning of the show, where Ace's kids are involved in theater and that we should be using our gifts for the greater glory of God. Well, when my wife and I were teenagers, the CYO here in Detroit did a production of Godspell that both of my wife were in, and it was done more as ministry than it was as theater. I mean, it's still the theater production, but that's how we met, and we've been married for 35 years now, and we both are cantors at our church and have been involved in music ministry all along. Our daughters, one was in dance and played piano, so they got some of the arts. The other one was a singer, and she actually did Godspell in high school with the same director that we had, who was a friend of ours.
No way. How about that? Oh, that's awesome. You know, there was once a song by Captain Tennille, right? Love Will Keep Us Together, right? And I think the love of music also keeps us together as well. It sounds like you have a very musical family, as do I, you know, as does Ace and so many others. I think the arts are very important. You know, using our minds and our talents for creativity, imagination, ingenuity, you know, all of that are really important ways of expressing ourselves and expressing, again, human creativity, you know, through arts and especially music and theater and dance and all those other wonderful mediums of artistic expression. So, man, thank you so much for sharing that, Mike. Appreciate your call very, very much. All right. We're talking about racism and racial injustice, seeing Christ and the person standing in front of us on the feast day of Saint Peter Claver, one of the greatest advocates against slavery. Would love to hear from you, your thoughts about seeing Christ and the person standing in front of us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So Peter Claver was a native of Spain, and he left his homeland in 1610, right? So right at the beginning of the 17th century, to become a missionary for the colonies of the New World, right? And so he sailed to Cartagena, and which is a rich port city in the Caribbean. And he was ordained, he joined the Jesuits, was ordained there in 1615. And by this time, the slave trade had been established for nearly 100 years before he even got involved. And in the Caribbean, Cartagena was one of the chief centers of it. 10,000 slaves each year made the journey across the Atlantic from West Africa that were in conditions that were so rancid and so inhuman. That about one third of the passengers on those slave ships died before they even made it to the New World. And so, although this is despite the fact, and I cover this extensively in my book, the practice of slave trade was condemned outright by Pope Paul III. And he was labeled it as part of the work of Satan. He said it was a supreme villainy by Pope Pius IX. And it continued. Again, the Pope spoke out vehemently against slavery and the slave trade. But despite that, Catholics, including bishops and priests and religious orders, still participated in the slave trade. And so one of the lessons we can learn from St. Peter Claver is seeing Christ in the person standing in front of us. In Genesis chapter 1, 27, it says we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so when we see someone, so for example, when I was with Ace at the EWTN radio conference just recently, you know, in Washington, D.C., you know, I don't say, I don't look at Ace and say, oh, he's just, he's white. Like I'm experiencing Ace because of his whiteness. No. I'm experiencing the person of Ace McKay. I don't care what color he is, black, Hispanic, Native American. I don't care. You know, I'm trying to experience the person. The person that God sees when he looks at Ace or anybody else for that matter. You know, that's what I want to see first. And when I'm able to see that first, see the image lights of God in a person standing in front of me, now I'm able to experience all the other beautiful things that person brings to the table because I first see what God sees when he looks at that person.
Well, and it is, to me, the beauty of our different cultures, no matter what color our skin is, but it is the beauty of that, whether it's in how we worship God, whether that's in how we communicate with each other, whether that's in the musical types that we like all of that stuff integrates this into a part that can bring us together. Because when we feel like, well, I just can't really connect with Deacon. Well, have you gotten to know him? I mean, it's finding out the thing where you connect, whether that's in pain or in friendship or in, you know, backgrounds or culture. I mean, all of those things, there is a point of connective. But if nothing else, be curious. Just being curious about the other person allows that investment to go to a place where God can use us in our relationship.
Amen. Love that. Yeah, we're talking about St. Peter Claver today on his feast day, seeing Christ in the person, experiencing the power of Christ in the person standing in front of us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Melly is calling from Laredo, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 130. Melly, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi. This is Nelly Vielma. I'm an immigration attorney, and I'm on the border with Mexico. So I see these in my clients as they come, and I try to see them in persona Christi and how our Lord and his parents have to be fleeing since he was a baby to try to what I see from a lot of people coming from different countries trying to do their best for their kids and for their family safety. And so it's very difficult for me to see and hear the decisions of some of the courts and how people are now not able even to qualify for bond. They're going to have to be detained. And the discrimination as a whole against Hispanics, against immigrants, it really hurts my, you know, my being, just seeing that and feeling that in the people that I serve. One of my clients, as a matter of fact, gave me a beautiful tapestry of Jesus where he's holding two kids crossing a little stream, if you will. So she's like, this is what you're doing. You're helping people when they cross to the U.S., you know, to try to get them, you know, the American dream, if you will. I've been blessed also to have a ministry where I help out the Diocese of Laredo with all of their religious visas and the Brothers of St. John as well. So that's at the core of our mission, to try to help those that are vulnerable.
Yes, and that's one of the principles of Catholic social justice, right? We want to respect the dignity of each and every human being, because all of us, no matter what race, color, religious affiliation, we're all made in the image and likeness of God. And we need to, as I said, we need to see that in the person standing in front of us first. So that's the most important thing. And so what we don't want to do is to make judgments about people solely based on how they look, because they look different than us, or there's a stereotype that we see. Because where do those come from? We're not born with them. We're not born with stereotypes against people. Because think about it. You can go on a playground and you'll see little boys and girls, no matter what race, color, they're just playing. They're just having fun. They're all kids. They're not looking at, oh, I'm not going to play with you because you're black. I mean, you don't hear 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds doing that. Okay, but what happens over time? We get exposed to jokes from parents or comedians or people that we see on television or on movies and things like that. You know, we hear these things, and you know, we begin to form these prejudices where we're seeing people according to a stereotype and not looking at a person as an individual, you know. So when it comes to immigrants, cause I myself am an immigrant. I was not born in the United States. I became a citizen when I was 17 years old. You know, so what we want to do is make sure that that we are respecting the laws, because that St. Paul says that as well. We are supposed to respect the laws of a country, but we don't want to keep people out of the country solely based on the fact of what color they are. That's not part of who we are. That's not part of our the founding principles in which this country was founded, so we want to make sure that we're always following Catholic principles when we're making decisions about things. And again, you know, like I said, I don't watch television, or I'm not into like government or politics or anything like that, but again, what we need to apply in all these situations is, again, the Catholic principle is seeing the Christ in the person standing in front of us first. And because every single person is created by God in his image and likeness and deserves the dignity and respect that comes with that. You know, so that needs to come first. So thank you so much, Melly, for your wonderful call. Today, we're talking about St. Peter Claver on his feast day today, one of the great advocates against slavery and racial injustice. And we're asking the question today, how do you see Christ in the person standing in front of you? You know, so we're looking at someone, not seeing a race or a color first. We're first seeing and experiencing that person the way God wants to see and experience that person. And that's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So St. Peter Claver had a mentor when it came to the slave trade, working against the slave trade actively. Another Jesuit, Father Alfonso de Sandoval, had devoted himself to the service of fighting against slavery for over 40 years. And so St. Peter Claver continued that work. And he called himself the slave of the slaves. I love that. The slaves, again, identifying with the people he was called to serve. All about St. Peter Claver today. On Beacon of Truth on his feast day. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. How do you see Christ and the person standing in front of you? 833-288-EWT-33288-3986. Salvador is calling from Lafayette, Louisiana, listening on Christ the King. Salvador, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you, Deacon, out of Brook Service.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you today.
How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. It's a beautiful day out today. We're celebrating St. Peter Claver, and I'm part of the EWTN family, so I'm doing great.
Good. Well, cut to the chase. yes, when I speak to people, I see people and I observe people doing things. You know, your eyes can't help but see the flesh of a person. But when I'm talking to a person, I'm talking to somebody I cannot see. The person who you are cannot be seen. The flesh and blood is what you see, but the spirit of the person you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to that soul right there. That's what I talk to all the time, every time, whoever the person is.
See, I love that, Salvador. And I think that's exactly what we need to do. Because look, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we have the encounter with Samuel, who goes to the house of Jesse, who's the father of David, to anoint the new future king of Israel. And so Jesse has 8 sons, but he only lines up 7 of his sons when Samuel shows up. Eliab, Abinadab, Shema, and 4 other sons. The son he doesn't include is David. Why? David's a teenager. He's out there being a shepherd with the sheep. You know, and so so the new, he sees Eliab standing in front of him. He doesn't describe what Eliab looks like, but in the eyes of Samuel, this guy looked like a king. So what did he do? He went to pour the oil of anointing on him, and the Lord said, no, not him. And Samuel's confused because I don't understand. I'm at the right house. Here are the sons in front of me. This guy looks like a king. What's the problem? What's the Lord say to him? I don't have the Bible in front of me, so I'm just paraphrasing. He goes, it's not about his height or his stature or any of that. He goes, because the Lord sees not as man sees. And this is your point, Salvador, which you said so beautifully well. He says, man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart, right? So, and heart is leb in Hebrew. It doesn't just mean the organ that pumps blood through the body. The heart is the place where your desire for God lives inside of you. That emanates from your soul, right? So the Lord asked Samuel not to look at the outside, not look what this guy looked like on the outside. He may look like a king, but he doesn't have the heart of a king. I want you to look at the heart. Right. So that was a directive from God to Samuel. So none of the sons fit the bill. It goes, we have any more sons? Oh, yeah. There's David outside. And David came in. And what happened? The spirit of the Lord came upon him. Right. Said, that's him. Anoint him. He was anointed and the spirit rushed over him, which is, a precursor to the sacrament of confirmation. So you're exactly spot on, Salvador. We need to look, if you will, Salvador's words, the soul of the person. We need to see what God sees when he looks at that person. So again, that doesn't mean that we don't appreciate their color or their cultural diversity or anything. No, we're not saying that. But we need to see first, when I first look at a person, I need to see what God sees. You know, like my wife is German and Irish. So when I first saw her, I didn't think, wow, here's a nice German and Irish. I mean, I wanted to see what God saw first when you look at, that's what you want to see first. Because again, once you do that, all the other beautiful things that make them a child of God, you begin to appreciate all those other gifts because first you see the way God sees it, just like St. Peter Claver did, you know, which made him such an effective minister to God's people, to the downtrodden, to the poor, to the oppressed. And he serves as a model for us today. Love that. Thank you for the beautiful call, Salvador, on Beacon of Truth today. We're talking about St. Peter Claver and seeing the image and likeness of God in the persons, each and every person standing in front of us, regardless of race, color, class, religious affiliation. We need to see God first, just like St. Peter Claver did. Would love to hear your thoughts. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Rita is calling from Boise, Idaho, where my goddaughter lives, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Rita, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you. I want to, first of all, compliment you because you do such a good job. I like to listen to you a lot. And you're a very bright young man. Okay, so I'm calling because I have a granddaughter. She uses blonde and light blue-eyed when she was born, and one of her neighbors adopted a baby from Nigeria, and they were the same age. And she was as black as a child could be. She had dark eyes. And, you know, it always struck me. It's like she was totally aware of stuff like that, of racism. She was just her friend. I never once heard her make any mention. It was her best friend, and like brothers and sisters, they would fight with each other and they'd have fun together. But, you know, it was a beautiful witness of like how God sees us. You know, he just sees us, and he doesn't see with color. He just sees with the soul, you know.
Exactly right. You know, Jesus even talks about this. He says, unless you are like children, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Now, what Jesus doesn't say is to be childish, right? To act childish. He's not saying that, but to have the heart of a child, the innocence, the beauty, just like you said, Reed. And in fact, you just brought home and emphasized what I said earlier. Young kids don't see color or race or any of that. They're just kids playing. Racism and prejudice is learned behavior. You see, that happens over time because we're not innately born to be racist, as some ideologies today will try to assert that we are born, certain races are born as racist or born with prejudice. No, that is learned behavior. And my contention is if we can learn it, we can unlearn it. Right. And I think children are the beautiful example of that. They just see another kid standing in front of them. And so now as adults, we need to take that same childlike heart and carry that forward to see God in the person, to see, as you said, Rita, to see the soul, to see the spirit of that person, to see that first. That because we're all human beings. We all have this share some of the same the same virtues and unfortunately the same vices, right? That crosses race or color or, you know, all those kinds of things. And what we can't do is put up barriers that prohibit the Spirit of God from working in and through us. And so we have to instead of building barriers, you have to break those down. And I think the Catholic faith and what we teach and how we teach and the beautiful examples of the saints like St. Peter Claver can give us everything that we need to be able to defeat this enemy against the life of the church. So Rita, what an absolutely beautiful call. Thank you so much. We're talking about St. Peter Claver today, the great saint fighting against slavery and racial injustice. And he went, you know, the last example, he just didn't give care for slaves. He reached out to sailors and traders and many, many others to also make sure that they were taken care of as well. So what a beautiful example of what we can be when we start to see God and the person standing in front of us. So tomorrow we're going to have another great first show for you. It's Word of God Wednesday. We're going to be breaking open God's words for the readings for this next Sunday coming up. Which is actually the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, a very special Word of God Wednesday. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.